Hello and welcome. This is Couples Counseling for Parents, a show about couple relationships, how they work, why they don't, what you can do to fix what's broken.
Here are our parents,
our dad, Dr. Stephen Mitchell,
and our mom, Erin Mitchell.
Hello, and thanks for joining us today on Couples Counseling for Parents. I'm Dr. Stephen Mitchell.
I'm Erin Mitchell.
And I wanted to talk about a topic today that we've talked about before, but it's been a little while. And I feel like I've been thinking about it because I feel like it's a topic that's come up with some of the couples that we've been talking to.
It's always coming up.
So it's around this idea of in-laws and boundaries. And everyone just laid down and went to sleep right now.
Quick nap.
Just quick 15. Ooh, oh, okay. Or everyone's like
super
energy
activated.
Like yeah, everyone is just like angry.
Cortisol filled the body.
Fuming.
No one's actually sleeping at all.
Yeah.
But I think the reason to have this conversation in a context like this, the reason we have this conversation, mm-hmm. the reason we encourage couples to be actively talking about this is so that it can be a more neutral conversation. Because
Go
ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, yeah, so that your blood doesn't boil. You don't feel like you need to take
a quick 15. Just be back in 15.
That's right.
Yes, because it doesn't have to be a negative thing. Saying like, hey, I'd like to talk about some boundaries for this upcoming birthday party mm-hmm. doesn't have to mean your partner says that and all you hear is your years or whatever of I can't stand your parents or your brother's coming he's the worst and it's like you know really personal deep accusatory stuff and that's what happens. It's like, oh great, what do you need? It gets contentious and so fast.
And I think one of the things to note, like, we're not talking here like terrible relationships. I think we're simply talking like
you, not couple. You mean like a terrible relationship
with in-laws? Extended. Yeah, mm-hmm. and we're kind of saying in-laws, but you just use the example of like you know your brother's coming into town. You know, like yeah, I think it can be extended to family just in general, and I think that why this is such a important conversation is that
to be clear, a brother is an in-law.
They are.
A brother-in-law, a sister-in-law.
Oh, that's so true. Sweet.
I just learned another one of those moments where I wish we had sound effects.
Where it's like, you're
no.
I think when I think of in-laws, I think of like
parents.
Right, yeah, mother-in-law, father-in-law. But you're right, brother-in-law, sister-in-law. Yeah. You know what? It's been a long day. Feeling a little tired.
But we also extend this family because you don't really say, that's my uncle-in-law.
Right. No, you're right. I know. It's totally, I hope that entertained everyone. I hope everyone got a good laugh about that little oversight in my brain.
Go ahead.
So I think what I was saying is we're not necessarily talking about negative, like, unhealthy relationships, like I don't even like my extended family. I mean, we're talking like in normal relationship, healthy, like in normal, like healthy relationship, like two partners come into a relationship and they bring their families. And what that means is we all have to relate to one another's family. And that requires skills because that's not always the easiest thing. No.
It does require some skill. I think it also just requires some communication because I think to your point, in the best of circumstances, there's still some communication that has to go into interacting with each other's family because they're new. It's a new relationship. No matter how long y'all have been around, there's a learning curve and there's this is how your family does birthdays.
Right.
All right. Like that's not how we did birthdays.
Yeah.
And just coming to understand that. And that happens through communication. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't always go well because it can feel like I want to put up boundaries, which means I want your family to stay away, which is not what that's supposed to mean. It's trying to figure out the best way that we can interact with this extended family in a way that feels safe and authentic to us.
Yes.
It's sort of that, like, who's the we here? How do we want to approach this? How are we planning to go into this?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I think birthdays are a great example.
I don't know why I kept saying that.
But well, because it's the little kind of normal, although birthday's not everyday kind of interactions. Like, so, you know, you're sitting there getting ready to plan your 3-year-old's birthday party. Your partner's mother-in-law is super excited, just pumped. And they have some ideas about how they want to celebrate their grandkids' 3-year-old birthday party. And they
I feel like you're calling on real life experience right now.
I don't. Maybe. You think so?
Yeah. This feels like us.
So if we say Aaron's
mom
mm-hmm. has some real clear ideas about how she wants to celebrate our 3-year-old's birthday party. And that can feel to Stephen like she's encroaching on how we want to celebrate birthday.
And here is the perfect example. So already mm-hmm. the way Stephen said that, I'm like, my mom's not trying to control the party. My mom wants to be involved, and that makes you feel controlled. She's just like, what's the plan? That's not her controlling. Mm-hmm. You just come from a family who didn't celebrate with extended family.
Right. And it's just like, you know, I just want us to have our own thing and not do exactly what, you know, your family would do. And
my family's not trying to push anything on you. Mm-hmm. They're just trying to say, like, can we come?
Yeah.
And you're saying, ugh.
Right.
And that is how it could get sideways fast.
Yeah. Yeah. Around something that's supposed to be really fun, which is your kid's birthday. And some really normal desires from both people. It makes a lot of sense for your mom to want to celebrate her grandkid and have a lot of fun and enjoy that. And it makes sense for us to want to do that in a way that fits sort of our family.
And I think that's the key. So us, like, who's mm-hmm. the we here? Us, mm-hmm. not Stephen versus me and my family, not me and my family versus Stephen. But like, so how do we want it to look?
Well,
I really want my family to be involved. That was a big part of it. We always had a family birthday party growing up. And you're like, that's weird. We never did.
But so this is what we're talking about, because I think that this is where this conversation can go wrong.
Oh, the second time, because we already had one time. This is another place the conversation can go wrong.
Sure, sure. What was the other time that we just
The way had? You brought it up, like your mom is trying to control. And I'm like, she's not trying to control. She asked what time dinner is.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, so now the second
Thanks
time.
Thanks for paying attention.
Sorry. I it's been a long day or something. I'm a little,
I think you're getting sick.
You think so?
Yes.
Where I think that this conversation can go wrong the second time is, so Aaron and I, we have had different experiences around family birthdays. So for example, my family, the way they celebrated birthdays was, I don't know, what would you say? We didn't really celebrate birthdays. Or like it was much more an insular, like our family kind of thing. We didn't like have people over. We didn't have extended family over.
We didn't live near family, which I do think impacts that.
Right. But I mean, we didn't necessarily live near your family and people would fly in for it. So, you know, so we didn't do that. We, you know,
fair.
We kept it our family. And there were some things I actually liked about that. I'm a little bit more of an introverted person, so I kind of like a little smaller group anyway. And so our birthdays, that was our birthday celebration. And that's kind of how I envisioned birthday celebrations would be in my family, because that's what I knew.
Sure.
Fair to say?
Yeah, I think.
You celebrated birthdays in your family. Go ahead. We've got 15 minutes for you to describe it now.
It won't take long, I don't think. We had a friend party and we had a family party. Mm-hmm. So we always got to, I mean, I think always, even like pretty little kid, we got to invite a few friends to do something of our choosing. Mm-hmm. And then my brother and I are born 2 weeks apart. So usually we would have those combined. So like with all the aunts, all the uncles, all the cousins.
Right.
We would have a dinner and cake.
Right. And that is your expectation about how we would celebrate birthdays.
Yes.
And it vicariously, like also your mom's expectation, right? Like, so from your mom's, you know, kind of perspective, like, so when are we having the family party? When are we having the friend party? You know, that kind of thing.
And I think, I can't tell if I'm just trying to defend my mom or if I'm speaking largely to like a healthy sort of in-law extended family situation. My mom, I feel like, tried to tread very lightly around things like this.
Yeah.
Like, hey, what's the plan?
Yep.
I don't know. But if there is one, I'd sure like to know so I could book a ticket and fly in for it. But I think that was sometimes due to unclear communication on our part, both because we hadn't talked about it yet. Like,
sure.
I don't know. We haven't done that. And I think that would really frustrate you. Like, well, that would start to feel like we're supposed to have a plan and we're supposed to know and we're supposed to be communicating and we don't know. Like, this isn't that big of a deal.
And I think what also happened is it began to just feel like a lot. Like, to me, I get, you know, like in my sort of very simple sort of mindset, like all of that stuff, it's like, do we really need to do all that? Like, why, like, isn't that excessive? You know? And again, I'm just speaking from my own experience, but I think where the conversation goes wrong is
again,
for the 18th time, this is where the conversation goes wrong is we start interpreting these conversations in light of, well, my way of doing it is right. And your way of doing it is excessive and wrong or too much. Or you might look at my way and be like, well, your way is like not fun and like kind of boring and not celebratory. Would that be fair?
Yes.
Yes. and where couples get stuck in conversations about in-laws, about boundaries, is I think in that place where they feel like, look, the way I've done it is the right way, and you begin to like try to pull your partner over to doing things how you want it.
I definitely think that's a component. I do think there's another piece, and I think to our experience, I think that this applies to couples we worked with as well, though. I think you would have been happy to have planned a party, but to feel like it was because that's what my family needed is going to make you dig your heels in hard and fast. Like, no, I'm not having some party so your family can feel better. What they needed. So they were a part of our kid. Like, this is our kid. I'm not doing this for them. And so it would be like there could be sometimes a no posture. Same for me. Like, rather than choosing like, well, what do we want? Being like, I'm not going to not celebrate. I'm not going to, you know, whatever. That was never really a conversation, but like, I don't want to mutually feel controlled. So I also dig in hard about like,
No, we're doing it this way. We're going to, you know, have the two parties.
The fear of control, because Stephen and I have never intentionally tried to control the narrative, but that fear of like, don't make this go a certain way, or I'm not going to do that because that's what's expected of me.
Right.
We're both pretty contrary people.
Yes.
And very strong.
You more than me.
And if we think or feel or get that sense that someone is that has an expectation of us.
True contrarian.
I tried to keep going.
I like that one though, a true contrarian. That's a word, right?
I don't.
Is your brother really my brother-in-law?
Yes. Yes.
But yes, I think there can be that sort of
fear of control.
Yes.
That I don't want to have to do what your family expects of us. I want to get to choose this. So you start saying no to things or you start giving people labels just out of that fear. And I think it's really hard to make good we decisions from a place of fear.
Right.
So like, what are we actually talking about here? What we're talking about is, how do we want to celebrate our three?
Yes, our three-year-old.
Our three-year-old's birthday.
Our kid's not three. I know. This was a long time ago.
You just made this child up. I feel that. But I think to sort of come back down, like, and then how should we communicate that to our families? Do we want?
Yes. Oh, I like that. There's that idea of how can we join our mutual experiences to create something that we want as a family? Mm-hmm. And then how can we communicate that to our families as a unit, mm-hmm. as a team? Not like, well, we have to do this because you need this, or we have to do this because I need this.
And to be honest, I think a lot of conflict comes, a lot of in-law family dynamic conflict, extended family conflict comes from unclear communication on both sides.
Between partners about expectations.
Yes, but I do think it often starts here, and it's fuzzy here, and so it's really fuzzy going out. And I think, like, I think of my parents, I think of your siblings who have been, like, sincerely perfect intentions about, like, trying to understand a decision or what the plan is or whatever. And because mm-hmm. we don't know, our communication's really bad outside. And so things feel like there's a lot of noise all over, because there is. So I think clear, good, healthy communication here and then going out, I think alleviates a lot of anxiety all the way around.
And I think the way you can have, so I think it's funny you mentioned birthdays. I think one of the reasons I was thinking about this is I know we're in September, but, like, these are the times, like, we're not too far off from holidays happening, Thanksgiving, Christmas. And there's a lot of these kinds of conversations.
It's funny, even Halloween.
Oh yeah.
Halloween's one of those times where it's like, oh my goodness, it can be a thing. But yes. Go ahead, sorry.
Halloween is also my least favorite thing. I'm not a big dress up person, you know?
You also didn't grow up with it.
I don't think that has anything to do with whether I like to dress up or not.
I disagree.
You do?
Yes.
Do you love to dress up? Yes. Like, is, like, the most favorite thing you've ever done is dressing up?
It's not my most favorite thing I've ever done. I think it's very enjoyable. And I love a family costume.
Least favorite thing is to dress up.
Like, in all of life.
I mean, I can't think of anything I dislike more. But I think I've been thinking about this.
We just had a total side conversation. Yeah, well, you know.
I mean, I wasn't, yeah. I don't like dressing up. But I think this is why I was thinking about it, because all these holidays and things are coming up, Halloween included. And I do think that oftentimes couples get sideways in how they communicate with in-laws about these things, brothers-in-laws, sisters-in-laws, mothers and fathers-in-laws,
uncles-in-laws.
And I do think that...
I think it's still just one law. Uncles-in-law.
Well, I mean, an uncle-in-law isn't even a thing.
I know, but you said uncles-in-laws.
Oh, well, I'm tired. So anyway, I do think that a way for couples to approach this in an effective way, let's take a birthday, for example, or a Halloween, let's stick with the birthday example. Thinking through, like, hey, in your family, when you celebrated birthdays, what did you really enjoy about how your family did it? Like, what do you want to make sure that we, like, keep in, like, our family history, our family process of celebrating birthdays?
I like this.
And then in that way, you can get at the idea of, what are your expectations about what this looks like?
Here's what I like about that. And then here's, I think, a little bit of what's sticky about that. Okay. What I love about that is that's what we're actually talking about. Like, I think that's mm-hmm. what we're trying to actually talk about.
Yes.
What I think is sticky about that is immediately I'm like, well, yeah, that would be great if that's how we did the birthday. But I also said that I only wanted your parents to come to the hospital after the baby was born for 25 minutes and you let them stay for 2.5 hours. So it doesn't really matter what I want.
Sure. That would seems like there's some resentment there that you should work through. No, I get that.
But I'm just saying, like, that is how things, this simple conversation, because there always is history. And even if, go ahead.
But I think there's a second part to the conversation, because what we're talking about is having the conversation in a new way. Correct. So yes, you have to be aware of there can be some of that baggage, but
so I'm just saying, like, when does that get to come up
next?
Okay.
So, for example, so you've established what it is that you want, and then you say, okay, how can we communicate this to our families? What is going to be a way that's going to feel good for both of us in terms of communicating this with our families? I think that that's how you, that I think that that's how you get at the not repeating the, I said I didn't want your parents to come to the, you know, hospital or whatever, and they did. So
it's right. I think, yes. I think though that that is the next place though where things get sideways, because now we're talking about the hospital, which if sure. our baby is three,
right,
was 3 years ago. So now mm-hmm. it's like, oh my goodness. And now everyone's back to like either despairing or angry, or now sure. it's like, oh, you just hate my parents, and like they just were excited and
right,
whatever.
Right.
You're back. You're like stuck, and now you're not talking about what you came to talk about.
Right.
So either I think those things need to be resolved. So somehow there needs to be some like accountability or some forgiveness
sure.
in that birth story conversation. Or if that can't happen in that moment, we have to stay on topic. So we have to agree. You're right. That was a disaster.
I but don't how want, do we want that,
this
right.
to go.
I don't want that to happen. Like this is why we're having the conversation in this way, so that doesn't happen again.
Correct. But I think that comment, while I hope that you will all like jot that down,
mm-hmm.
it's really hard to come up with in the moment unless you're prepared and be like, hey, we're going to talk about
mm-hmm.
Our pretend baby's birthday.
Right.
I know that that is tough. This could be a tough conversation and old things right. can get brought up. And of course, you know, I get that. Let's not. Can we like, sure. let's try to stay on topic. I mm-hmm. really want this to go well. I really mm-hmm. want you to feel respected. And I know historically you haven't. Something like that. You know,
yeah.
like,
yeah,
just go ahead. Stephen always uses the word clunky, and it's my favorite thing. Like, be as clunky as you need to yeah. be to say, I know where it could go wrong. I know that sometimes I get super defensive. I know that sometimes I have totally dodged this conversation and not had it proactively.
Right.
You are not wrong. Or I know I get really attacking. I know mm-hmm. I can be really critical. I know that I can bring up old things. I'm going to try really hard to stay on topic. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do that. I really want this to go well.
Yeah. Yeah. And so again, I think a way to approach these conversations, whether it's Christmas, Thanksgiving, vacation, what you want to do on the weekend, if you're going over to dinner, you know, at a parent's house, is to ask the question, hey, what did you really like or appreciate about this event or this experience in your life as a kid?
What about this is important to you?
Yeah.
And
how so? And what do we want? Like, how do we want to preserve that? Like, how do we, like, what would it look like for us to keep that great thing that you loved and enjoyed about this experience? And both share that. Like, this is what's really important to me. This is what's important to me. And think about, okay, how can we meld those two things together in a way that feels good for us? And then the question is, and how can we communicate this with our families together? And I think that if you just start there, you can shift the conversation away from those negative, like past experiences. Granted, like you were saying, like you might need to resolve some of those so that you can. Mm-hmm. But I think that it can be a good approach to being on the same page so that you can communicate the boundaries and the things that you want with your family. Because I think oftentimes, like if the family sees that you're on the same page, there's not much to
wiggle
to push back on or to be confused about. Cause I really think that that's what can happen is like your family can get confused and like, well, you said this and then you said this, like which one are we doing?
And again, we are talking about, I think you used the word normal, which I think that's a relative word, but you mean healthy interaction.
Yeah. Yeah.
Family who genuinely wants to know,
right.
And isn't right. trying to violate your boundaries, but it's just like, what's the plan?
Yeah.
It'd be great to know one.
Yeah.
Even if they can be pushy about it or have an agenda
or have their own thoughts or their own ideas or things that they want. That, I mean, that's fine. People, like, you're a human being. We all have those things.
And I think then in terms of like how you communicate that together, when you said that word, like, it doesn't mean you both have to be on the call or you both must be
sure.
there in person. Like, it doesn't, but like, we are going to be clear about the language we use, and we're going to yeah. be really respectful and say like, we really want to spend time with you, or mm-hmm. it's really important to us that our pretend baby gets to have as many people there to celebrate them as want to be.
You're right.
Also, they're three. That can be really overwhelming. So we were right. thinking this would be a great way for you to get to be involved and for them mm-hmm. to actually enjoy it, not whatever it is. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
But where you are communicating in a very clear, but also way that like honors how you feel about that relationship.
Yeah. And again, I think the key is you as partners communicating your expectations and being on the same page first.
Yes.
In terms of those expectations.
When you both are clear, like you said, with curious questions and like, I don't understand that.
Yeah.
That is not a value of mine. I want to know more though. I know it's important to you. I kind of like how you turned out. So
it wasn't so bad. Right. Yeah.
Like, tell me, like, walk me through it. Show me, paint me the picture.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, if we do think, you know, for our fake 3-year-old, but we do have 3 kids. So
none of them are 3.
For our real kids, I do think that this conversation, let's say particularly around birthdays, does feel like we have a good system. We have a good, like we have the same, I think, expectations about what that looks like and how we involve other people, because we've had some not great conversations about it. But I do think that we ended up having this conversation about like, well, what do we like? And what did we like about birthdays? And what is the feeling of a birthday that we want our kids to have? And then how can we achieve that together?
I like that. I think the other thing that is important to be very tender with is saying like what you fear about the other person's. Like I know, and I hope this is okay to share, but I know you've said in the past, like when your whole family is involved in our kid's birthday, my opinion can feel like it doesn't matter.
Sure. Yeah.
And that, I care about that. How Steven says that, you know, like your family takes over, they're super controlling, is really different from,
sure,
I want to get to feel like I'm a part of it and like I get a say and where we get this.
Yeah. And also my communication, like your family is controlling or always takes over. Honestly, a lot of that is about just my own fear, like my own fear. Because I think
you've ever actually said it just that way. I'm just saying, these are the things that come out.
Right. Because if you know, kind of like without that fear, you know what, like it your family isn't that way. Your family's just excited. They just like to celebrate. And that is a good thing. Like when you're communicating about my family, like one of your fears is like, I just want it to feel like a celebration.
Sure.
And I have a fear that if we
did it the way you did it, it
wouldn't be celebratory. Okay. I mean, that doesn't mean that you don't think my family is fun or terrible, you know, curmudgeons. It just means like, I fear that it won't feel celebrated. I fear that I could feel controlled. But if we actually hash that out, we don't have to fear those things. We can be aware of them.
Yeah. Neither of us wants that for the other partners. It's never, I mean, I think never. And again, we are talking about couple relationships where they're pursuing health, right?
So you were, right. Yeah.
I want Steven to feel as a part of our kid's birthday as I do.
Sure.
In fact, I need Steven to be as a part of our kid's birthday as I am. And I don't want to take over. I know Steven doesn't want to take over. But those are the fears that start getting activated. Yeah. And it's like, wow, your people, they're doing this to us. And I think yes, this is what I really loved. This is what's important to me. And this is what can bubble up as a fear and not getting to do it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think one of the things that helps with communication with in-laws about any kind of boundary like this is that getting on the same page as partners so that you can have that clear, effective,
proactive
joint communication with your family. Today's show was produced by Aaron and Stephen Mitchell. If you're enjoying the podcast, please hit the follow button and leave us a rating. This helps our content become more visible to others who might enjoy it, and it lets us know how we can keep improving the show. And as always, we're grateful for you listening. Thanks so much for being with us here today on Couples Counseling for Parents. And remember, working on a healthy couple relationship is good parenting.